All right, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 12. The Bible says, 1 Timothy 4 and verse number 12. Here we go. It says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation, in charity and spirit and faith and purity." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you again for these guys being here, Lord. It's a blessing to see each one of them, Lord. I pray that you would, God, please meet with us in class today. I thank you for the presentation that Zach just went through, Lord, and God, for the assurance that we can have that once we're saved, we are always saved. Lord, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that it's not something that we can mess up or lose or in some way void out, Lord. God, you said that once we're saved, we are always saved. And it's not because of what we do, but it's all because you protect it and preserve it. Lord, thank you for that. I pray that, God, you would please help the message today. Please, God, get a hold of each heart, speak to each person in the room, make us more like you, and help us to love you more. And please give me the right words, Lord, and everything that I need to get this across in a way that would please you and help these guys. Help us to hear your voice, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you guys for standing. So we're kind of diving in right into the middle of 1 Timothy. And just to be fast with this, guys, we know this is the Apostle Paul toward the end of his life, and he is writing to this young man, Timothy. Timothy was a pastor in Ephesus. You read the book of Ephesians, you hear about the church at Ephesus. Well, Timothy was the pastor of that church at this time in his life. And Timothy was probably, most people think, somewhere in his 30s. And in that culture, that was pretty young for a pastor to be in charge of older people. So he was kind of looked down on, and that's what the verse is alluding to at the beginning, all right? So Paul is instructing him and encouraging him. Timothy had the tendency to be a little timid or shy at times. I guess that was his personality trait. But Paul tells him at the beginning, verse number 12, he's saying, "Let no man despise thy youth." He's saying, Timothy, don't let people look down on you. Don't let them brush you aside and dismiss what you say because you're younger than them or maybe you don't have a lot of experience. And guys, I've dealt with a lot of that with teenagers. All right. People say nobody respects me and, nobody listens to what I say and all this kind of stuff. Can I tell you, listen, let's look at this verse today. He says, "Let no man despise thy youth." And probably every guy in the room is like, "Yeah, don't look down on me. All right. I'm just as smart as you are. Hold on, Captain. Chill out a little bit." Notice what it says, though. It doesn't say talk back to them. It doesn't say disrespect them. It doesn't say yell louder than they do, and then that'll really prove that you know more than them. What does it say? It says, "Let no man despise thy youth." How do you prove them wrong? By being an example of the believers. Hey, guys, you want to shut people up from dissing you or disrespecting you? Live it. Don't open your mouth. Don't tell them they're wrong. Don't tell them you don't know what you're talking about. Blah, 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 blah. Close the mouth and let the life show. You know how you prove people wrong? Just by showing that you're different.
Well, I've seen a lot of guys around this church, and yeah, they talk big for a while, and then they fall off by the wayside. Can I tell you that is a true statement? I wish it wasn't, Zach, but a lot of guys can do that, just like we were talking about last week. All the guys that want to proclaim their own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. Listen, and sometimes people come after you with that. Oh, Zach's a young preacher. He'll never last. Oh, it's happened in my life. Oh, Brother Tom, he's excited for a while, but yeah, we'll see if that lasts. You know what? Hey, you don't do it by getting louder, guys. You do that by living it. You prove them wrong by living it day in, day out, day in, day out. After a while, they say, you know what? I guess he was real. And that's a good thing. That's not to our glory. That's to the glory of God. But he says, be thou an example of the believers. You want some respect? You want people to really take notice of how you are? Start working hard. You start working hard. Man, it's amazing. We want to argue with everybody and defend ourselves. Just work hard. Honestly, Zach, if I see a guy around this church, if I see him carrying chairs when he's not asked to, say, we may need to get that guy up for a 5-minute message. Well, he didn't lobby for it, Brother Tom. He wasn't saying, hey, when am I going to get up there? I've had people do that on the other side, too. I hate that. I'm being transparent with you guys. I hate that. I hate when, hey, when's my turn coming? I say, hey, when you stop kind of nudging me, leave me alone. I don't like that. I'm watching. And if I see a guy that's really in love with the Lord, he'll get up there. Don't worry. You'll have your chance. But when you're propositioning and trying to push your way into the front of the line, when's my turn? I'm like, yeah, maybe you don't need a turn. Paul says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers." Now, guys, let's stop right here. What is that talking about? Be an example of the believers. Can you break that down for me? An example of the believers. Mike.
So they, since we're Christians and people look at us, they should know, they should look at us and say that's how a Christian should act.
Right, right. The word example there, guys, if you look it up, it means a pattern or a model. What's a pattern? I always, my mind always thinks of, you know, when you're a little kid and you're in school and you're, they're teaching you how to write, what do they have? They have those letters, but they're like dotted lines. You know what I'm talking about? And you follow the pattern. Hey guys, that's what we should be. Hey, I can't live the Christian life for you, but I should be able to mark it out for you and say, this is how you do it. Hey, this is how to be a man of God. This is how we should read our Bible faithfully. This is how we should pray. This is how we should soul win. This is how we should treat people. Hey, it may not be a perfect example, and that's not to God's shame. That's to my shame, because I don't always follow it 100%. But you know what? We should mark out that example. Say, man, I want to have a heart for people like Brother Zach does. I want to care for the Lord. I want to be dedicated to the Lord like a Brother Bob, like a Brother Chuck, and so many of these men that we refer to so often. Hey, guys, be an example of the believers. I'll get to that in just a moment. Guys, we cover a lot of subjects, right? A lot of topics from time to time in our preaching and teaching. But here's what I want to nail on right now. Listen, guys, maybe some of us have accepted or resigned ourselves that, you know, Zach, we're just good at certain things, but other things we're just not as far as the Christian life. And, you know, we have our strengths, but we also have some weaknesses, but we've kind of just mailed it in and just say, you know what? That's just who I am. I mean, maybe for some of you guys, you can speak well and you can speak publicly and that's great. But as far as being a soul winner, you're like, I mean, I've tried. I've tried and gotten shot down. And you know what? That's not really me. Guys, can I tell you, that's not the way we should be. We can't get stuck and stagnant in our Christian lives. We've settled in. A lot of guys have stuck it on cruise control and say, hey, if it involves preaching, yeah, I'm all in, man. But if it's, you know, we need to pass out flyers for a couple hours, it's not really my spiritual gift. Can I tell you, that's not a spiritual gift, all right? That's you being lazy. And you need to kick yourself in the butt and get out there and do it. Don't get settled in and stuck and stagnant in your Christian life. A lot of guys get lulled into laziness. You know what they say? Something along these lines. I'm good where I am. Hey, listen, guys, pay attention today. I'm decent. Listen, I'm not the best Christian, but I'm not the worst either, right? And I'm just somewhere in the middle, and I'm okay with that. Now, guys, let me say this now. It's not a comparison, and it's not a competition. I'm not up here trying to outdo what Zach just did. Man, I'm thankful for what God's doing with Zach. But you know what? God has a will for his life, and God's got a will for my life. And listen, I'm not trying to be better than him. He's not trying to be better than me. We're on the same team. We're exalting the same Lord. Because at the end of the day, we don't really care if they know his name or my name. We don't want them to know Jesus' name. That's what it's all about. All right? We're trying to uplift him and exalt him, and that's what it's all about. But guys, so many people, they say, no, this is, I'm just good with where I am. I'm okay with that. Listen, it's not a comparison. It's not a competition. But can I say this? You should strive to be the best that you can be in every area of your Christian life. Listen, guys, let's just be honest. For some of you, maybe you are a good soul winner, and that's a great thing. For some of you, maybe you're really good and when new people come in, you can reach out to them. You care for people. You help people. That's awesome. But hey, there's other areas of your Christian life. Let's be honest. You are slacking and you are not where you need to be. Hey, guys, can I tell you, you don't get a pass and I don't get a pass. Zach, I hope that God blesses the sermon today. Ethan, I hope it goes really well and God uses it. But you know what? When I go home today, I need to be a good husband to my wife. God doesn't give me a pass and say, shoot, Brother Tom, you nailed it. Those 45 minutes, booyah. Now you can go treat your wife like dirt. Oh, no, sir. Right? And you say, oh, Brother Tom, we know that. But guys, I think some of us kind of do that in our own brains.
Well, you know, I really helped out around the church a couple of days ago. So, I mean, if I don't totally listen to my parents today, that's fine. If I want to watch something or listen to something, I'm okay. I'm allowed. Really?
I don't think so. There's no passes. There's no doctor's notes. There's no excuses or exemptions from this. What does God say? God says, you be an example. Hey, guys, notice the words of the verse. Be thou an example. We know he's talking to Timothy, but you personalize it to your life right now. Hey, Micah, be an example. Anthony, be an example. George, be an example. Nathan, be an example. And everyone in the room I could go through. Guys, it's true for you just as much as it was for Timothy. You be an example. You be an example. Hey, you know what I want? I want it to be, if a new guy comes in the room, I can say, hey, you just watch Micah. Whatever he does, you follow him around. You do what he does. Hey, time out. If I did that, what kind of Christian would that turn out to be, Micah? And I'm not just picking on him. I could go through the room and say, hey, be like Anthony. Be like George. Be like, what kind of Christian would they be if they followed you around and watched you all the time? We could park there for a long time, guys. Because we want to say, whoa, that's not my job. Excuse me? I think the Bible says it is. It's my job, too. No. If you want somebody to be a disciple, talk to Brother Tuck. Talk to Pastor. Talk to Brother Bill. Send them to the leadership. I'll just funnel you right down that way. What if it's your job? You be an example. Hey, if they said what you say, would they be a good Christian or not? If they listen to what you listen to, would they be a good Christian or not? If they watch what you watch, would they be a good Christian or not? If they texted on their phones what you text on your phones, would they be a good Christian or not? If they treated their parents the way you treat your parents, would they be a good Christian or not? Guys, this is real Christianity. This is what it's all about. Listen, before you get up and speak anything, and before you get up and give your little outline and share what you've learned about the Lord, how are you living? That's what he's saying. He's saying, Timothy, don't forget your example. Listen, people may look down on you. They may disrespect you. They may slight you because you're a little younger than them. But you don't talk back to them. You don't disrespect them. By the way, guys, this just popped in my mind. You don't earn respect from others by disrespecting them. Did you hear that? You don't earn respect from other people by disrespecting them. That never works. It never works. He said, you may feel slighted, but you don't open your mouth. You just prove by how you live that you're different. And guys, he throws out a bunch of areas, a bunch of categories that we need to check ourselves in. Be an example of the believers. Can I say this, guys? He doesn't say, be better than people in the world. I get that. That's implied. But you know what it says, Micah? He says, be an example of the believers. Hey, guys, if you measure yourself against the wickedness of our world, you're always going to look pretty good, I would hope, right? But he says, you know, who are the believers? Another dumb question, but I'm going to ask you. I'm all into the dumb questions today, all right? Who are the believers? Christians, right? Those that believe, that put their faith in Christ to save them. Those that are on their way to heaven. You know what he's saying? Be the best of the best. Be the best of the best. Again, not to compare yourself, not to be in competition and say, this is stupid. Why am I saying all this weird stuff today? You remember the SpongeBob episode, right? Where he gets the blow up arms. I know some of you guys are big into SpongeBob, right? Anchor arms. Excuse me. My bad. You want to preach? All right. That anchor arms, right? But they're just balloons and he can't even hold a cup of water, you know? But you remember when he walks into the gym and he's like, I remember when I used to look like you and I used to look like you too. And all these guys that are huge, he's like, yeah, and even you. And they're all laughing at these guys that are huge. You know, we can do the same thing sometimes in the Christian life and look down on other people.
Yeah, I remember when I was at your level.
You're probably below their level if that's your attitude. Hey guys, if you want to go higher with God, lower yourself. Humble yourself, therefore, in the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Be the best of the best. And can I also say, be all that you can be. Hey, maybe you can't be the next great preacher across the country. Listen, maybe that's not what God called you to be. Just be faithful to what he's called you to be, but grow. Be the best that you can be. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in grace. Hey, guys, have you grown lately? Or have we gotten to a certain point? Says, yep, that's about it. That's all I want to be right there. If I go any higher, Micah, they're going to start expecting more of me. What about pleasing God? The Bible says, always abound in the work of the Lord. You know what that means? Always be doing more and grow and look for ways to improve. The Bible says, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Listen, Jesus could come back at any time. He says, do so much the more as you see the day approaching. You see that his coming is coming closer and closer and closer and closer. Do more, do more, do more, do more. Whew, those are challenging verses, guys. Hey, be the best of the best. That's what I want to preach on. There's no way I'm getting through all this today, but totally fine. We'll pick it up another time. the best of the best. Again, not so you can look down on other people, not so you compare yourself, but so that you can give your best to God, so you can be all that you can be for the glory of God, the best of the best. Point number one. Well, let's read the verse again. He says, be an example of the believers. And then, guys, he gives six different categories. Wow. A lot of areas that we can work on, all of us, myself included. And Zach, this challenged me as I'm studying it last night. I know this verse, but it really hit me in some fresh ways last night because I'm thinking, you know what? Maybe I've fallen into that too. Hey, you could probably say the same thing. There are certain things in ministry that you're more inclined to do, and then other things you're not so good at. But you know what? We have to work at all of them. Hey, guys, I love getting up behind the pulpit, preaching my guts out. I love that. Can I tell you what I don't like sometimes when people off to the side, hey, Brother Tom, I got a question for you. I'm always like, ooh. But you know what? I need to work at that too. Hey, guys, I may love studying and writing down notes and getting a sermon packed together. Hey, sometimes I don't really love and enjoy getting down on my knees and praying, but you know, I need to work at that too. Hey, guys, can we all admit it's nerve-wracking sometimes to knock on somebody's door or to give them a tract, somebody you've never met before. Out of nowhere, out of the random, you excuse me. That's hard, right? It all gets our heart pumping. And we say, man, what am I going to do? What are they going to say? What are they going to ask me? But we need to work at that. The Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's not just to the preachers or to the campus evangelists. Guys, that's to every single Christian. That's you. That's me. Be the best of the best. Be an example of the believers. He gives a lot of these areas. Let's work on these things. Point number one, the conversations you speak. He says, be thou an example. First one, in word. In word. Guys, the point says it, but it's talking about what you say with your mouth. What you say with your mouth, the conversations you speak. He says, be thou an example in word. As I said, if a new guy follows your pattern, your model, and he says what you say, what kind of Christian would he be? The conversations you speak. Hey, guys, can I tell you, it needs to be dedicated. Listen, this is a sub point. It needs to be dedicated from the beginning. You say, what are you talking about? Before you even start your day, you need to say, God, every word that comes out of my mouth, I want it to please and honor and glorify you. Guys, can I tell you, because if we don't set that course from the get-go, we're going to mess up. We're going to mess up. All right. Listen, we've got to set that from the beginning. This is a great verse. Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Guys, that needs to be all of our prayer. Lord, I don't want anything coming out of this mouth. And he goes even deeper. Not just the words that come out of my mouth, the stuff I'm thinking about in my mind and in my heart. Oh, God, I want it to be acceptable in your sight. Hey, guys, some of us need to do an inventory. Some of us need to do an examination and say, Lord, there's stuff that comes out of my mouth that has no business coming out of a Christian's mouth. Some of us want to claim Jesus to go to heaven. But when it comes and we get mad or we get mad or we get fouled on the basketball court, oh, man, some bad word's about to fly out. You better watch out. Can I tell you, you don't get an excuse for that. God's not okay with that. He doesn't pass over that. Let the words of your mouth, meditation of your heart, be acceptable in God's sight. And God sees and hears everything that you say. The conversation that you think, guys, is it? Do you wake up every day saying, God, help me with my words? I remember years back when I first started on the routes, this one guy cussing. I said, dude, don't say that. He said, I can't help it. Can I tell you, that's a lie straight out of hell. Yes, you can. Yes, you can control what you say. It amazes me, Zach, that if you ever hear, well, it's changing and not for the better, but you ever hear certain like sports talk guys or whatever, on certain channels, they're allowed to cuss. On other channels, it's mad. It's like magic. All those filthy words just don't go in their mouth. Guys, you know why on certain channels they do it and on other channels they don't? Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. They can control their mouths because they know if they say a bad word on the wrong show, they're going to get canceled out of that and their revenue is going to go down. Listen, you can control what you say. And that's talking about a lost person. Hey, guys, you got the Holy Spirit of God living in you if you're saved. You can pray. You can go to God whenever and he'll do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. Call unto me, I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. If you're child of God and you can't control your mouth, you need to go back to God and say, God, I need your help. He can help you, guys. By the way, a bad temper is no excuse. Now listen, there are plenty of verses. There's no excuse for filthy words to be coming out of a Christian's mouth. You say, yeah, that's easy to say when you're preaching, Brother Tom. It's hard to live. Yeah, it is. But you know what? We need to discipline ourselves. James talks about it's like putting a bridle in a horse's mouth. You got to control that thing. And it's hard sometimes. Guys, can I tell you, when you're angry, a good rule, shut your mouth. Because if you start opening that bad boy, some dumb things are going to fly out real quick. When you have disagreements with people, slow down, think it through, pray, ask God to guide your words. It's so easy that we just get angry and then we think, man, why did I say that? I was so dumb. Why would I ever say that? It's because we didn't think and we just opened our mouth and unleashed. It's like you shake up a soda and open it. Oh, man, now we got a mess. Yeah, I guess we do. The conversations you speak, guys, how about what you say? Hey, the Bible says, whether you eat, drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Does what you say honor and uplift the Lord? I love this one. This is in Proverbs. Proverbs 8. For my mouth shall speak truth. Hey, guys, do you speak truth or will you lie if put in a certain position, certain situation? And wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Hey, guys, is wickedness an abomination to your lips? You know what that means? It's disgusting to you. It used to be a day that Christians, if they heard cussing, would say, whoa, I don't like that. If they heard somebody using the word sex, they're, whoa. Now we're so used to it. It's all around us. And by the way, if you watch TV shows that have cussing in them, guys, when you get angry, guess what? Those words will pop into your mind. It's all loaded up. All you got to do is pull the trigger and beep, beep. Oh, my goodness. I can't believe I said that. Because what you've been feeding your mind on, feeding into your mind. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. Young man, listen, guys, look up here. Don't you be telling these jokes. Having a double meaning to things. You say something, but those that really know what you're talking about know you're talking about something perverted. Guys, that has no place in our talk, in our speech. That has no place. That you're saying something that maybe the adults don't understand, but you know the guys your age know that you're degrading some girl across the hall. That's sick. That's nasty. Listen, if you're guilty of that, ask God to forgive you and move on. Say, God, cleanse my mouth. I don't want to be like that. He says in Proverbs, there's nothing froward or perverse in them. There's nothing that can be twisted. Hey, listen, he knows from being on a football team. I know from being on a baseball team. You watch what you say, because some of the things you say, and you don't mean anything wrong by them. The guys take them wrong and go, oh, you're talking about. Blah, blah. No, I'm not, dude. What's wrong with you? We shouldn't be like that. Bible says we should reckon our members to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. That's your body parts. Your mouth's included in that. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Tools for God. God, these are for you. What do you want to do with them today? He doesn't want to cuss with them. He doesn't want to tell dirty jokes with them. He doesn't want to have something nasty coming out of the mouth that he gave to you. Hey, guys, never forget that. All the stuff that we have, God gave it to us. So don't use your ears to pump filth into it. Don't use your eyes to click on, to view things that you click on that are nasty. They're not yours. They belong to him. He gave them to you. And don't use your mouth in a way that would degrade and be nasty in those things. Colossians 3:8 says, don't even let any filthy communication proceed out of your mouth. He said, get that stuff out of your mouth. Get it out. Colossians 3:8. And how about this one, guys? Do all things without murmurings and disputings. That comes out of our mouths. I understand we're not happy about things sometimes, guys. I understand it doesn't fit our ideal of what the day should be. But guys, are we always complaining? Listen, some Christians won't cuss, and that's a good thing. If you don't cuss, check mark for you. That's a good thing. But you know what? We are great, as in terrible, at complaining. We won't cuss. We won't tell dirty jokes, but we will complain all the day long. Like nobody's business. Guys, I used to teach school here in the academy. All right. I used to teach a class here. And it angered me at the time, but looking back, it's funny. Ethan, the test is over, right? I had given a test and everybody's done. They're out in the hallway talking. Wes, I walk by and the conversation gets all quiet. I know what's going on. Complaining. Guys, I get it. Listen, there's plenty of stuff that happens throughout my day that if I had to wish for it, I would say, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go there. I don't want to sit in traffic. I don't want that guy to say that to me. I don't want to have this problem pop up. But you realize sometimes the problems that pop up in our lives, God will use them for good if we respond properly. But we're just over there, man, I can't believe it, man. Do all things, everything, without murmurings and disputings. One of the most disobeyed verses in all of the Bible. Let's stop complaining. Hey, when your parents get you food today, is it, Mom, this is not what I wanted. At least you got something. Yeah. Well, this is not the nicest. It's something. And by the way, guys, when you get older, you realize this. Everything that you have, it costs money. Do you realize just to have a any size house, not the nicest house, any size house, apartment, it costs money. Do you realize they charge you? I can't believe some of these companies.
It's over $1,000 in some places, and it's actually
crazy. Yeah. Listen, can I tell you guys? It's crazy, some of these companies. Can you believe that they charge you for turning on the lights? What are they doing? That costs money. To have it, I know it's cold in here, but to have it at least at a decent temperature, you know that costs money. Some guys like, can we pump a few more dollars into it? Crank this heat up a little bit more? I understand. But listen. That costs money. But listen, we can be so ungrateful. So ungrateful. I've had teenagers that I've done things for, given things to, and they said, that's it. You wanna see me, my anger go from 0 to 60 in 2 seconds? Say that to me. Try to keep it down. Trying to keep my own rule. Don't open your mouth. But I'm just like, you okay, Buck Tom? Yep. Good. We'll be good. You just may want to leave. You just may want to go really, really far away. Just for like 12 minutes, all right? Then come back. Because that's frustrating. You give them something. This is not what I wanted. Okay. You need to go somewhere really fast, right? There's a problem there. The conversations you speak, I need to shut this down. Is it dedicated from the beginning? Are you devoted to building other people up? You know what the Bible says we should do? It says we should let no corrupt communication proceed out of our mouths, but that which is good to the use of edifying. You know what edifying is? Build up, encourage people that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Hey, who have you encouraged recently? This talks about, Job, the great man in the Old Testament. It says, talking about what he would say and how he would live. Behold, thou hast instructed many, so he would teach people, and thou hast strengthened the weak hands. Notice this, guys. Thy words have upholden him that was falling. That is a cool statement. You know what it's saying? People are discouraged. They're about to quit. And Job would come by, this godly man in the Old Testament, and by his words, he would uphold them. Hey, you can keep doing it. I know it's discouraging, but man, stay in there. God's with you. He'll help you. Just stay in there. I love that statement. We need to be more encouraging in what we say. Hey, guys, do you tear everybody down with what you say? So you can supposedly look good to other people, or do you build people up? Something we need to think on. A proverb says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Hey guys, how are you using your mouth, your tongue? Do you build people up? Hey guys, I'm not trying to throw on pass that somebody will say something stupid on social media or online. And somebody will take that serious and then they go and commit suicide. Can you imagine bearing the guilt of that? My goodness. Hey, let's be careful with what we type, with what we text, and with what we say. You never know what people are going through. Let's try to be encouraging. And I'm not saying we need to turn into Joel Osteen and just smile weirdly all the time, right? There's times you need to call people out and say, don't do that. That's not good for you. You stay away from that. All right? But guys, let's be encouraging. Let's be encouraging. Say, hey, you okay? You doing all right? Hey, man, keep living for God. Keep trying. I know it's hard. Keep trying. It's worth it. Encourage people. And guys, the details to be on top of. Listen, let's speak the truth in love. You know, sometimes it's not just saying the right words, it's saying it with the right spirit, the right attitude behind it. You know, I can say that a sentence that's true and that may even be what the person needs, but I can say it in a way that cuts them down. Maybe in some area, Mike, I say, Mike, you need to do better. But if I say it in a way that comes off as condescending, hey, do better. I'm acting like I never struggle. That's not going to help him. It's not going to help him. And by the way, guys, when there comes a time you get older, don't do things to embarrass people publicly. I don't ever think that's a good thing to do. You ever see those parents that, like, they're broadcasting it to the whole neighborhood? You know, and they're like whipping them in front of the whole community, and you're just like, don't do that. I don't blame the kid if he turns out to be terrible. You know, I'm joking, but you're like, that is not helpful. You know what I'm saying? And guys, I don't think it's good for us to bless God, come up here in front of the whole church. You are an idiot. Can I get an amen? You know, that's not going to help anybody. It's not. If you have to have a serious conversation with somebody, go in private. Hey, can we talk? Hey man, I've been noticing this about you. And listen, I know we all struggle, but I'm really worried about this in your life. Do it that way. Don't do it in a way that you can beat them down and everybody say, yeah, that guy has some power. That does not help your case. Let's do it in the right spirit. The conversations you speak. All right, let's shut it down.